Father, we do step aside this morning from a world that just doesn't make sense. And we come to you who makes all things new, who brings meaning and clarity to all that is. So, Lord, we yield to this morning our hearts, our minds, our desire to hear you. For you do have something to say to us today. As Jesus said so often, he that hath ears, let him hear. Lord, we listen in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn over to John chapter 12 if this is the first time you've been with us. Unapologetically, we move through the Word of God. This 66 books, okay? That book. Try not to get in the way. Try not to let the culture get in the way. We just need to hear what the Word says. That's all that really matters when it comes down to it. And so at this time, we're in the Gospel of John, and we're finishing chapter 12 this morning. Okay? John chapter 12. So let's read verses 44 through 50. And Jesus cried out. He shouted, all right? And he said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him or her on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment. A commandment what to say, what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. This is Jesus' final teaching, preaching to the crowd. This is his last statement to the big groups. I know some of you are saying, hey, wait a minute. I looked on ahead and there's a bunch of chapters left. True. But the audience for the rest of the chapters, the rest of the teaching, is the 12. Jesus is going to hide himself from the big crowds from this point forward. Think about that. This is the last time that they will hear from Jesus. This is the last time that he will speak to them. Do you know there's a day like that in your future? There is a day that will be the last day on this earth that he speaks to you. For some, it will be because your eyes close in death. And then you get to see him face to face if you're in Christ Jesus. The next great event on God's calendar is Jesus Christ coming in the air for the church. Those who remain will not hear him speak again. The Holy Spirit who indwells believers will be taken out. You see, there is a day coming when it's the last time that Jesus will speak to people. Well, that's what happened today. This is the last time. From here on, it'll just be the 12. And then Jesus will go to the cross, be raised from the dead. And then he will ascend to heaven 40 days after that. So it's his last message. And in this last message, it's kind of a summary of what he's been teaching them for all of these 3 years, almost 3 years up to this point. The theme of what he's been saying to them in this passage is believe. 8 times in verses 36 through 50, he addresses the issue of believing in him. There are a number of themes that John has shared with us up to this point. Jesus summarizes those in this last teaching. For example, the theme that God sent his Son. He addresses that here. The theme to see the Son means to see the Father. He addresses it here. That he is the light of the world. Again, he repeats it. That the words, his words, are the very words of God the Father. He spoke to that just as we read through, if you read with me. That faith in him brings salvation, and it's the only way for salvation. And to reject him is to face eternal judgment. All of those themes that he has spent his days up until this time presenting to the people in one teaching or another, he summarizes in this last sermon, this last teaching. So what we're going to look at this morning is the mission of Jesus. Now, those of you in the business world, at some time, if you have a very big business at all, you have established, your company has established a mission statement. This is what we are about, this business. This is our mission. This is our focus. This is what we're going to do. This is our vision, if you want to think about it that way. In the school business, a lot of you had a lot of teachers in here. In the school business, you may have been part of a group that formulated the mission for your school district or college or whatever. You have a mission statement. This is what we're about. This is what we're going to endeavor to accomplish. It defines, it crystallizes so that everybody's on the same page. Well, that's what Jesus is really doing in this last teaching. This is the mission from God the Father and from me whom he sent. He addresses, first of all, his origin. Where are you from, Jesus? And he addresses that. He is in him who sent me. Where are you from, Jesus? I'm from him. Now, he doesn't give a location, a geographic location, but wherever the Father is, that's where I was. Therefore, he sent me. That's where I'm from. I'm with the Father. Jesus, what's your purpose? I have come into the world as light. The world is dark. Dark because of sin. I, the light of the world, have come, and therefore darkness is driven away. If you described your life today, would you be light or dark? You're one or the other. I'm one or the other. Light or dark, which one? You say, well, some days light, some days... No. You are perpetually dark or perpetually light. If you're dark, you can be light. If you're light, you can never be dark again. He said, my purpose is I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And finally, Jesus, what are you doing here? What's your work? What's your teaching? My words. That's what he said, my words. Now my words are to save the world. Did you catch that? I have not come, he said, to judge the world. I have come to save the world. And maybe there's some folks in here who say, whew, wow, you know, he's not going to judge. Oh, but did you catch it? There is judgment. When? On the last day. by what? My words. The words that he has been teaching will be that which judges the people who are judged on the last day. Well, let's investigate this mission of Jesus in more detail this morning, okay? I want us to look, first of all, at Jesus' mission defined. Then I want us to see Jesus' mission denied, because it was, and Jesus' mission determined. And we'll move quickly through these passages of Scripture. All right, there's something we need to establish up front as we define, as Jesus' mission is defined for us. The mission of Jesus Christ is not established by the hearer. This is big. It's not established by the seeker. The mission of Jesus is not even established by the believer. Now, folks, that runs counter to just about everything that you will hear in the land today and in most churches. You see, there's that mentality out there that I get to establish the mission of Jesus for me. Did you get that? Folks, I see that. I bump into it almost every day. Well, I believe, I'll hear somebody say. Or, I think. What is being said there is someone is trying to establish the mission of Jesus. Folks, the mission of Jesus is not contingent on what you think or believe. It's not contingent on determined by the hearer, the seeker, or even the one who believes. It's established by Jehovah God. He establishes the mission of Jesus Christ. This is not Christian by customization. You don't get to customize it. Well, I like this. I don't like that. I'll try this. Try that one. I like the... No. There is one size that fits all. And it's His size. His mission, He said, is established by Him who sent me. The focus of Jesus' mission is light. To be the light in the darkness. That's what He's all about. That's why He left the glory of heaven and became flesh and dwelt among us. John told us all the way back there in chapter 1. He who is light came into darkness. That's the focus of His mission. Now, as people, we react to that mission. And once that mission is established, defined in our lives, it's permanent. You see, your reaction to the mission of Jesus is an absolute. Believe or reject. I don't know, there's a few hundred people sitting in these chairs this morning. We don't ever count anybody here. But that'd just be a good ministerial guess, all right? Every person in here has believed or rejected the light of the world. At this point, if we could freeze frame this time right here, every person here has believed or rejected. That's the only two options. That's the only reaction that is possible for every person. You say, well, you know, I'm kind of out in the middle. No middle. God is a God of the absolute. You're hot or you're cold. You're for me, you're against me. You have believed or rejected. Now, if you have truly believed, you can never reject. If you have rejected up to this point, you can't believe. You can't believe. Because until that next event on God's calendar occurs, the coming of Jesus Christ in the air, there is still a day of grace. There is still a day of grace. All right. Now, there's a verse here that maybe gave you a little bit of trouble. It did me when I first read it. Whoever believes in me, verse 44, whoever believes in me, believes not in me. Did that bother anybody? Were you tuned in enough to say, what? Whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. What's Jesus talking about here? Lord, what are you saying? I thought we were to believe in you. What he is saying here is whoever believes in me just as a mere man. I'm not a mere man. I'm God. I came in the flesh. You cannot believe in me as a mere man. You see, the people in the crowd were wanting to believe in him as a mere man. A mere man who was their Messiah, the political Messiah, if you will. Jesus said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. Here's the deal. When you believe in Jesus, you believe in the Father. And that's good. Because if the Father doesn't know you, you don't have a place in his eternity. But if he knows you by name. And Jesus said that he was even preparing a place for you, and he's going to come back to get you. To see me is to see him who sent me. So do you get it? The mission of Jesus establishes that God is in charge. God is in charge. That bothers us, doesn't it? We want some latitude in this. We want some wiggle room. Folks, there is no wiggle room. I don't know where you picked that up or where I picked, but we didn't get it here. There's no wiggle room. You see, we do not get to negotiate truth. We don't have a place at the table. I spent most of my professional life in committee meetings and that kind of thing. God saved me from that. Thank you, Lord. Okay? And some of you other folks know what I'm talking about. You get around a table and you sit there and you just, you know, kind of deal. Everybody has an opinion. And somewhere all that mishmash comes something that somebody writes down. And if you haven't been there, don't want to go there, okay? That does not apply here. That has nothing to do with the mission of Jesus Christ. You and I do not get to negotiate truth. Can anybody tell me what truth is? What God says and what God sees. Did you get that? I didn't make that up, okay? Truth is what God says and what God sees. If it doesn't fit in either one of those boxes, it's not truth. So, you and I do not get to negotiate truth. God has already established it. We can't negotiate it. We can't create it. We don't determine it. We either believe it or reject it. That's our only response. Now, I know we don't like this in this country, and you business folks will really not like it probably. But we have to live the Christian life reactively instead of proactive. You see, in the world in which we live, especially this country, you have to be proactive. You have to go get it. If you wait, you'll get left out. You'll miss the deal or whatever it is. In the life of the believer, we don't have to be proactive. We can't be proactive because we can't negotiate or create truth. All we can do is respond to it. React to it. We don't like that, do we? We want to craft it according to what we want. Sadly, today, there's this practice of trying to create Christ and his teachings in our image and after our likeness. Yeah, that's what we want to do. So the trend then is to remodel the teachings of Jesus in order to satisfy our wants, our desires, our attitudes, our lifestyles, our whims, our cravings, even our addictions. We want to twist and turn, and our grandkids love to play with, what do you call that, Jim? Modeling clay? Play-Doh. Play-Doh, that's it. All right. There was a day it's called modeling clay, okay? Play-Doh, okay? And, oh, they get that out and they roll it up. They've even got this machine, you know, that'll send it through the factory. And hours they'll spend this. And over again they'll come and say, Poppy, look what I made. Poppy, here's some cookies. Do you want one? Folks, that's good for grandkids and little ones that you have at your house. It does not work in the Christian life. You don't get to make it the way you want it. You cannot, I cannot remodel the teachings of Jesus to fit all of our whims, desires, attitudes, etc. I said I wouldn't say anything. I'll say a quick word. That's what went on last week. Some bodies, five, remodeled marriage. Wrong. I'll leave it there, okay? Our strategies for remodeling the teachings of Jesus, some of these will sound familiar because we use them. We compromise. Well, I know that's what it says, but. Or, yeah, I read over there, but. Anytime you hear that but, okay, somebody's trying to remodel something to fit what they want it to say, do, and be. Tolerance is another one. That's another way we try to deal with the mission of Jesus so it fits us and we feel comfortable. That's what we're after. That state of equilibrium where everything's in balance in our life. And so folks will be tolerant. We got to be tolerant. Did you know something? God is not tolerant. Did you ever think about that? If he's tolerant, nobody could go to hell. If he's tolerant, everybody goes to heaven regardless. That, by the way, is not true. He is not tolerant. And doesn't that kind of cause you to flinch in this American culture? What? No. He's absolute. He's in charge. It's his mission. Compatibility with trends, relying on the words of people instead of the Word of God, seeking to be comfortable, all of that instead of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, which is the mission of God the Father. In fact, I would go so far as to say, if you're not looking more and more like Jesus today, what evidence is there that you are in Christ Jesus? So if we make Christ in our image, if we try to create the mission, then whatever we want to do is okay. You know, that's a very popular thought today. And it's phrased like this: I have total freedom in Christ Jesus to do whatever I want to do. I don't know who created that, but they didn't get it from here. You say, wait a minute, I've read in there where it says that we're free in Christ Jesus. We are free from the power of sin, the penalty of sin, and the presence of sin. And if we are truly free in Christ Jesus, all we want is to be identical to Him. It is not a license to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it. Now that runs afoul of this culture in overdrive. With all due respect to you 30-somethings and below, that's something, ladies and gentlemen, in that age group especially, you're going to have to take home to raise. Because you are running against the current. Because that is the theme of your part of this culture. And I'll be just honest, I can't be. It scares me to death for you. It scares me to death for you. Because that 30-something and below group, that's the philosophy. I can do whatever I want to do. I can do whatever I want to do. And God has to bless it, permit it. That is not true. That is a falsehood from the pit of hell itself. Don't take up the offering now, whoever's doing that. We don't take up the offering here, so that, don't worry about that, all right? Jesus' mission denied now. Jesus' mission defined, that's what we tried to do here. Jesus' mission denied, verses 47 and 48. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, verses 47 and 48, we find that. He said, if anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him. For I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. Again, that's where we... No, you missed it, okay? Judgment is not set aside here. It is not taken out of the equation. Judgment is still coming. But did you hear that? The judge on the last day, the final day, he said, are the words that I spoke. Can you imagine how haunting that will be on the final day that he's talking about? And all of those words that all of the people that are there, and if you're in Christ Jesus, you won't be there. Every word that you have heard that came from the Word of God, a preacher somewhere, a book, okay, every word that's authentic as far as coming from Jesus, those are the words that are going to be ringing in the ears of those at that final day of judgment. I can think, you know, it doesn't matter if you have blasphemed them, and a lot of people are blaspheming the Word of God. I heard that a lot this week. It doesn't matter if you reject it, if you compromise it. It doesn't matter. Jesus said, the words, my words, will be what judges you on that day. One will not follow Jesus if there's confusion about Christ's mission and word. You can't. God is not the author of confusion. We know that from the Scripture. If a person is confused, they can't follow Jesus. I mean, they're wandering around out here. They don't know the way. If they are following Jesus, they see Him and they walk in His steps. So one will not follow Jesus if there's confusion. Confusion will cause you to deny the mission of Jesus. One will not follow Jesus if there's not submission to His mission and word. Mission and word, same thing. If you do not follow His mission and word, you don't follow Jesus. Who are you following? That self-crafted, customized whatever? Your philosophy of life? Folks, there's only one person to follow, and it's Jesus Christ. One will not follow Jesus if His mission, His word, is compromised or criticized or subject to negotiation. If it's not recognized as the sole source of truth, it's not dependent on cultural whims and trends. These are the people that deny the mission of Jesus. Those who are confused, those who do not follow, and those who refuse to submit. Finally, this morning, I want us to look at Jesus' mission determined. Unless you are confused, the mission of Jesus and the mission of God the Father are the same. That's a big deal. There is one authority, Jesus said, verses 49 to 50, and He sent me. He sent me for a specific purpose. He gave me a specific commandment. He gave me specific instructions as to what I am saying and speaking. What He's saying here, the Father and I are on the same page. So what you're hearing from me came from Him. I came from Him. There's not an arbiter out there that you can appeal to later on because you didn't do what I said or follow my words. We're in agreement. You got to see verse 50. Verse 50. Listen to this. Jesus speaking. And I know. Dwayne, did you get through that in Sunday school? Did that give you chills? Do you hear what's being said here, folks? God the Son, God in the flesh, said, I know. I know. Do you hear the power in that? You know, I'll be honest with you. There aren't many things that I know. Really, okay? There's some things I think I know and things that, you know, it's 50-50. But the Son of God, who knows everything, says, I know. The power in that. Well, you know, Lord, are you interested in knowing what He knows? I'm in. What do you know, Lord? Look at this. I know that His commandment is eternal life. I wasn't expecting that when I read through it the first time. That wasn't what I was expecting. Nothing wrong with it. That wasn't what it just didn't seem to flow. I said, I gotta find out what this is. I know that His commandment is eternal life. But read up there a little bit further in verse 49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has Himself given me a commandment. And to say what to say and what to speak. Now listen, and I know that His commandment is eternal life. What I say and what I speak, and only what I say and what I speak brings eternal life. That's what He knows. I know, Jesus said, because I'm following His commandment to me, that what I say and what I speak is the source of eternal life. Nothing else. No customized version of. No, do it my way. No, but I believe. No, none of that. The commandment given to Jesus Christ, who is going to be totally obedient to His Father, the commandment that He was given, the words that He says is the source of eternal life. There is no other way. No other way. Do you see why we emphasize the word here? I know what you know, I get beat up all the time. People say, well, couldn't you do something a little more relevant? Or maybe you could do something thematically. Or maybe we could get into some of the things that we face out there in life. I resign. If that's what it has to be. For I know nothing except what His Word says. And that's all I want to know. That's why we emphasize only the Word of God here. It answers every question. It has every theme imaginable. It deals with everything you'll face in life. It's all right here. And you don't have to have it filtered through somebody like John Wheeler. Amen. Do you see, folks? That's why we emphasize the word here, what Jesus has said, his words. Because that and that alone is the commandment that leads to eternal life. Wow. We used to sing an old song when I was growing up. I am satisfied with Jesus. Anybody ever sing that? Yeah. Okay. Wasn't that great? Okay. Everybody over 60 raised their hands there, I think. Okay. Young folks need to go get a Baptist hymnal or a Brahmin hymnal or something. There's some stuff in those things, let me tell you. Okay. This is not an advertisement, Andy, so relax, all right? But I remember singing that song. I am satisfied with Jesus. That sums it up. I don't need to make something new. I don't need to do something and make it fit. I don't need to compromise so I feel better. I am satisfied with Jesus. And that old song says, He is satisfied with me. You see, when I come to faith in Jesus Christ, He's all that He's looking for. I'm all that he's looking for. Someone like him. Are you satisfied with him? Nothing else you're looking for. No other bells to ring in your life. Well, that's a neat place to be. Haven't always been there, Mick. Man, I tell you what, I was fighting. I was, you know, trying to get, achieve and all. And then one day I woke up and said, I got it. What a day that was. Are you satisfied with Jesus? Is he all that you need? Some of you remember when Bernard Holmes was alive. And he, that New Zealander, had that New Zealand accent. And we'd sing a song those days, Andy. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. And you'd hear Bernard. Boy, he's a great singer. And he'd take it up. Man, just send chills down your back. Not because he was a great singer, but because Bernard Holmes believed what he was singing. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. May I say something else? You're all he needs as well. That's why he came and died. You're all he needs. He's not trying to create a kingdom. It is his kingdom. Thy kingdom come. It's coming. The rule and reign of Jesus Christ over your life is all he needs. That fulfills the mission that he was given from his Father. Let's pray. Father, I don't know where this nation, this world is headed. It seems to be pretty dark, to be honest. But that's just one man's opinion. But Lord, you have lit up my life. And the life of so many other people in these chairs. And it's really not that dark for us, Lord. Because you are light. And you have given us your words which light our path. And we're not afraid of the dark. For we know that it has no power or dominion over us. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who doesn't have your mission as the theme of their life, Lord, they have maybe just one more chance. And that's not to put any pressure on anyone, Father. That's just reality. Not a person in this room has any assurance there will be another breath flowing from their nostrils. And Lord, we do know that there is that day in front of all of us when will be the last day that you speak. It'll be the last day that you speak. Days coming when the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of this world. And for those who are not caught up to meet you in the air, there will be that day of darkness that settles in for those 7 years. Father, I pray that there wouldn't be one person that's not caught up to meet you in the air that's in this room right now. And Father, until then, I pray that we'll be satisfied with Jesus. He's all I need. I know you're satisfied with us if we are in Christ. Lord, it looks like we should return the favor, that we'd be satisfied with you. For those who are fighting against it, trying to get successful, trying to make something happen, trying to find faster horses and bigger houses and whatever else, they're going to get them, maybe. And it won't be anything when they get it. Cotton candy. But with you, Lord Jesus, you're ever with us, ever present, ever loving. I pray we'd be satisfied with you. In Jesus' name.